Okay, our landings overview for 2018. Stephanie, Alan, and Chris, if y'all come on up.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. I know some of you don't know me, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Stephanie McInerney, and I am the Section Chief for the License and Statistics Section of the Division. This is Alan Bianchi. He is our trip ticket coordinator, and Chris Wilson is our coastal angling program manager. So let me get this up on the screen on this side. If I can figure out how to do that. And I'm just pushing function keys. One of them is going to do it. I know that, but okay, yeah. Or I'm just a moron, so that could be it. Okay, so this presentation is going to give an overview of the 2018 commercial landings and recreational harvest in North Carolina. As we're going through, feel free to stop me if you have any questions. We are going to try not to bore you to death. So we'll be presenting data from two programs within the License and Statistics section. The data are fishery dependent, so they rely on data provided by recreational fishermen and commercial seafood dealers. Commercial landings and trip data are provided by the division's trip ticket program, which started in 1994. This program is a census of the commercial seafood caught by fishermen and landed at licensed seafood dealers. They process around 120,000 trip tickets per year. Our estimates of recreational fishing catch and effort are provided by the division's coastal angling program, which I'll refer to as CAP. They collect and maintain data for a variety of different surveys. The CAP program interviews around 23,000 anglers per year and sends out an additional 24,000 surveys per year. The largest survey underneath the CAP program is the Marine Recreational Information Program, or MRIP. This is a national survey run by NOAA Fisheries, and for North Carolina, a portion of MRIP is completed by samplers in our state that work for DMF. That portion includes the Access Point Angler Intercept Survey, or APIS, which are in-person interviews at docks, boat ramps, piers, and aboard headboats, the For Hire Telephone Effort Survey, and the HMS Catch Card Program, as well as the Large Pelagic Biological Sampling Program. So recreational data in North Carolina have been collected by MRIP or its predecessor, MRFs, since 1981, and DMF took over the state sampling in 1987. Since then, DMF samplers have conducted interviews and collected fishing data from more than 500,000 anglers. The MRIP survey only covers coastal fishing waters, which include our sounds, coastal rivers, and ocean. MRIP sampling in the upper reaches of our rivers was not adequate to develop estimates of catch for anadromous species such as striped bass and shad, so DMF developed the Central Southern Management Area Creel Survey to get data for these species that are important to North Carolina. Other surveys conducted by the Coastal Angling Program include mail surveys such as our surveys sent to our coastal recreational fishing license holders to determine participation in gigging, cast net, seine, and shellfish crab fisheries, and then there are other specialty surveys completed as needed. An example of one of those surveys is our survey of grandfathered and lifetime license holders. We just finished sending out 50,000 surveys to this group, so we'll be working on summarizing and finalizing that survey soon. Commercial and recreational data collected in North Carolina are used for statewide stock assessments and fishery management plans, as well as sent to regional databases that are used by councils and commissions to develop federal assessments and management plans. So, as I mentioned, the commercial data, they're designed to be a census. The data are provided by our dealers, and this is a requirement by statute. The total result from all of these, the data provided by the dealer, is a summed total of the reported landings. And a landing occurs when the fisherman sells their catch to a licensed seafood dealer. Recreational data are collected through surveys. This could be in person, mail, or telephone. In North Carolina, there are about 1 million licensed recreational anglers. Because of this high level of participation, it's not possible to get all trips reported like we can on the commercial side, so the harvest and catch numbers are presented as estimates. So for each estimate, a percent standard error, or PSE, is also calculated to give us an idea on how good the estimate is at representing the true recreational harvest. Each data collection program has unreported data, and we can't quantify everything, but you know, we do our best to get the most accurate estimates that we can. So we'll be looking at commercial landings and recreational harvest over the last 10 years and showing data for the top five species in each sector. And since effort is the biggest factor that drives landings and harvest, we'll be showing the number of trips for each species along with the landings and to see how that trend in effort compares. But before we do that, I want to point out that there's lots of things that can impact effort, including weather. This could mean storms. It could be cold weather that results in cold stuns for trout, or prolonged hot weather, which can increase water temperature and could potentially affect species distribution and the availability of species to the fishermen. Everyone remembers in September we had Hurricane Florence, and you'll see throughout the presentation that this had a major effect on the amount of effort and catch reported. Price is a big influence on effort, and that price is driven by market demand. Stock abundance can also have an effect on species availability and is one of the key factors influencing management decisions and regulations. When regulations are more stringent, fishermen, both commercial and recreational, have to ask themselves, are trip expenses worth the catch that they're able to keep? So is the cost worth the reward? So then regardless of all these things, effort ultimately depends on the number of fishermen. So this is just showing you some trends in the number of licenses, so number of participation over time. So the top one is standard commercial fishing licenses, and everything on this slide is for the last 15 years. The first two are the standard commercial fishing license and the retired standard. The bottom, this next one is the shellfish license, and then the number of trip tickets that were reported. Over time, the number of scuffles have been declining, but as existing longtime fishermen age, the number of people able to take advantage of the retired scuffle at a reduced price has increased. The number of shellfish licenses issued each year has been declining since 2009, and some reasons for this decline could be due to the economy and recent oyster regulations that limited the amount of oyster harvest using the shellfish license. And the number of trip tickets written each year by licensed seafood dealers has also been declining as landings and the number of fishermen has declined. So the change in scuffles from 2004, so the start of this time series, to 2019, and this is on the fiscal year, for scuffles that they are down by 25% since 2004. Our scuffles have actually doubled. They're almost up by 82%. The shellfish license is down by 68% from 2004, and the trip ticket count is down by 45%. So this is the same graph, but for the four higher licenses and the coastal recreational fishing licenses, and this is the number of licenses sold per year, and the four higher licenses is on a fiscal year, just like the commercial ones. The coastal recreational fishing license is on a calendar year. Four higher licenses include the four higher blanket and non-blanket vessel licenses and the four higher blanket captain's cruffle. The cruffles, coastal recreation fishing license, included in the second trend line include annual, 10-day, and lifetime licenses. And it does include the lifetime licenses that get pulled forward each year. So that way, this is really a reflection of the total number of licensed anglers in the state each year. So the new for-hire license structure has only been in place since 2015, our fiscal year 2015. So this graph is showing that trend from 2015 to 19. There's been a steady increase in the number of for-hire licenses over time, and that change since 2015 is an increase of 32%. Now, the cruffle license started getting issued in 2007, so the trend line here is showing the number of cruffles sold each year, again by calendar year from 2007 through 2018 and includes lifetime licenses brought forward. Again, there's a steady increase in recreational fishing licenses over time, and this is because of those lifetime licenses. For the most part, the number sold each year has been fairly stable, but because that number of lifetime licenses keeps getting pulled forward, the number of anglers licensed in the state has been increasing. And that increase in licensed anglers since 2007 is 30%. So statewide, here are the number of commercial trips per year versus the number of recreational trips per year. So the commercial trips are the solid line, and they are represented on the X, or the left axis, so on this side, and then the recreational trips are the dashed line, and they are on the right axis. Much of the commercial effort in North Carolina come from trips catching blue crab and shrimp, whereas recreational trip counts are coming from the MRIT program, and they don't sample for shellfish or shrimp catch. So to make these lines comparable, the shellfish landings have been removed from the commercial trip count, and then only trips that reported recreational harvest are shown, since the commercial trips that do not result in landings are not recorded by the trip ticket program. So you can see that the trip counts in each fishery show slightly different patterns from year to year, but both are showing an overall decline since 2013. Increased regulations and weather impacts such as hurricanes and drought conditions are likely some of the reasons for this decline. Hurricane Florence was one of the biggest reasons for that sharp decline in effort in 2018. And Florence brought a lot of damage and flooding to eastern North Carolina, but that affected more than just the available fishing days. It affected water quality and infrastructure in the cities and towns that were damaged. The damage was also seen on fishing vessels, seafood dealers, and hotels in the area. So even when fishermen were able to fish again, they may not have had a dealer to sell to, or they may not have been able to, book a trip on the charter side, because the constituents that were coming to book those trips may not have been able to find a hotel to stay in the area that they were going to come down. So the effects from the storm during and after are evident when you see this decline in the number of trips for 2018. Sure.
Speaking to Mike, if you would.
When you look at the recreational, you mentioned Beaufort in decline. I'd probably suggest that the recreational is actually fairly steady, because I'm not sure you can include 2018 in that. And without that, you seem to have a real steady pattern.
Cameron, did you have something? So here are the number of commercial trips by month. The blue line is the 2018 data, and the green dashed line is the average trips per month over the last 5 years, so that's 2013 through 17. And you can see that there's a large dip in the trips in September when Hurricane Florence came through, but effort was lower than the five-year average over most months, so this gap here, and you can also see that gap here in January and in March. Most of this was likely weather-related and as a result of some management actions that occurred during the year. Throughout last year, we had several nor'easters that passed through the east coast of the U.S., bringing severe cold weather, heavy rain, and heavy wind. And you can see how much lower the trips are, again, in January and March compared to the last 5 years, and then again starting in May going through December. Additionally, in May and November, the gillnet fishery closed in some areas due to protected species interactions, and this also contributed to the reduction in number of trips. And so here is that same graph for the recreational trips by month. Again, the blue line is 2018. The green dashed line is the average trips per month over the last 5 years. And there's that clear decline in September due to Florence, and again, like the commercial fishery, starting in May, there's that clear divergence between what 2018 numbers are and the 5-year average. That seems to continue through October and can also be seen in January. So you can see that poor weather is affecting both fisheries in similar ways. So now we're going to go through the commercial fishery. presented here are the commercial landings and ex vessel value for North Carolina over the last 10 years. Landings and whole pounds is the solid line, and ex vessel value, which is the estimated average value paid to the fisherman by the dealer, is the dashed line. Landings have been declining slightly, while ex vessel value has been fairly stable in recent years, except for that sharp decline in 2018. Reductions in higher value fisheries, such as blue crabs, shrimp, oysters, and flounder, contributed to this decline. 2018 landings, which were almost 46 million pounds, this was a 16% decline from 2017, and the 2018 ex-vessel value was almost $78 million, which was a 19% decline from last year. So this graph is showing a breakdown of commercial landings by gear. POTS is this medium blue, and it's making up the majority of the landings, which makes sense due to our, the largest fishery we have is, of course, blue crab, and that's followed by gillnets in this light green, and then trawls in the purple. Trawl landings have increased over the last several years due to likely due to increased shrimp availability and a steady flounder fishery. Haul seine landings in yellow, so that's this small sliver of yellow up here, they have been decreasing over time, while landings of hook and line, that's this light blue, and then pound nets, which is the dark blue, have been fairly stable over the last 10 years. So here are the top five species landed commercially based on pounds. Those were hard blue crab, shrimp, summer flounder, Atlantic croaker, and striped mullet. This graphic is showing the 2018 landings, which is the number below each species name. So this number right here is the 2018 landings in pounds for those species. And then there's the percentage of either a decrease or an increase compared to the five-year average. So species in orange had higher landings in 2018 than the five-year average, so that would be shrimp, and species in blue had landings in 2018 that were lower than the five-year average. So we're using the five-year average to do this comparison to try to remove some of the noise that can occur when you're looking at trends in annual variability. But I'll try to present, as we go through the species, the difference in the percent change, I guess, from 2018 to last year. So shrimp, we already discussed, was the only species in the top five that was higher than the five-year average, and that was up by 6%. So this is the top five commercial species by value in 2018, and that was shrimp, blue crab, summer flounder, oysters, and southern flounder. Again, this graphic is showing the 2018 ex-vessel value, which is the number shown under the species name compared to the five-year average. And so all of the species, except for summer flounder, had landings that were lower than the five-year average. So summer flounder was higher than the five-year average by 4%. So as you can see, Hurricane Florence really affected the commercial fishery last year. So as I mentioned previously, effort is a really big driver of landings. So on each of the species graphs, you'll get to see the landings over the last 10 years and how each trend compares to trip counts over time. The green line shows the commercial landings in pounds represented on the left axis, and the blue dashed line is the number of trips and is only on the right axis. The color pattern and the axis orientation will stay the same as we move through the commercial landings trends by species. So trends in landings and effort are very similar over the last 10 years for blue crabs. There has been a steady decline since a peak in landings in 2015, and landings for 2018 decreased by 9% from 2017, while the number of trips declined by 11%. Landings of shrimp have been steadily increasing since 2014, but dropped greatly in 2018, likely as a result of Hurricane Florence, since there was also a large decrease in the number of trips in 2018. 2018 landings were 30% lower than those in 2017, and the number of trips were down by 36%. So even though shrimp were actually higher than the five-year average, they were down last year compared to 2017. So summer flounder landings over the last 10 years have been pretty variable, and this fishery is managed by a quota. So I like to show the quota on the graph just to emphasize, you know, how that fishery, those landings are really affected by that quota. And the landings in green, you can see are following the quota, which is the black line there. And I've mentioned in previous presentations about the lows in 2012 and 13, which were due to issues with sedimentation in Oregon Inlet that prevented large trawlers that participate in that fishery to get through, so they had to land their catch in other states. In those cases, North Carolina quota was transferred to other states to cover those landings. So because of the majority of the fishery happens in waters north of North Carolina, landings were not affected by Hurricane Florence. And even though trips were down in 2018, landings per trip were higher, which kept the landings around the available quota. Yes, sir.
A point on that slide. I think the data that you see in the 2013, if I'm not mistaken, did that have something to do with Oregon Inlet and the where those fish could be landed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was talking to him about that.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I missed that.
It would be rude if I said yes. I just said that. I'm too nice to say that. I'm trying not to get fired. So here's croaker. Effort for croaker was increasing between 2011 and 2014, but landings had declined during that time period. Since then, the number of trips have shown a steady decline. Landings in 2018 increased by 63% over 2017, but were still lower than the five-year average, which showed up as blue on the infographic I showed earlier. So again, you know, we actually had an increase in landings, but because the landings for the last 5 years were higher, it was lower in 2018 for that. So 2018 trips declined by 37% from 2017. Landings and trips of striped mullet have followed similar trends over time. In 2018, trips declined to a level much like 2016, which was 12% lower than 2017, while landings only declined by 6% from the previous year. So here is commercial oyster landings and trips. They follow very similar patterns over time and show variable changes from year to year. There was a peak in 2009 at around 1 million pounds. Since 2012, landings have been increasing, and the 2018 landings were largely affected by Hurricane Florence due to prolonged shellfish closures after the storm. Landings in 2018 were 30% lower than in 2017, and trips were down by 29%. And lastly, for the commercial fishery, southern flounder, trips and landings have been on a declining trend overall over the last 10 years. Landings were starting to rebound in 2017, but declined in 2018 along with effort. Landings in 2018 were 32% lower than 2017, and trips were 26% lower. So the trends in landings and effort match very closely, suggesting a consistent catch of southern flounder per trip. So now we'll look at the recreational data. Recreational harvest is an estimate of the amount of fish kept by the fishermen. Harvest in pounds is the solid line, and harvest in numbers on this graph is the dashed line. Similar to the commercial fishery, recreational harvest has shown a sharp decline in 2018, likely due to Hurricane Florence and other storms. Before 2018, harvest in pounds has been steady for the past several years, while harvest in numbers has been declining, suggesting that over time larger fish are being caught more frequently than smaller fish. In 2018, recreational fishermen harvested 16.2 million fish, weighing around 20 million pounds. 2018 harvest in numbers was 49% lower than the previous five-year average, and pounds harvested in 2018 was 28% lower on average than the last 5 years. In addition to the number of number and pounds of fish that are harvested, data are also collected from anglers to determine how many fish are released. So the amount of harvest plus the amount of released fish represents the total recreational catch. I like showing this graph every year because it really shows what proportion of the total catch is made up of releases. So the releases are this dark blue. I hope it's blue over there. Yes. The number harvested is in orange, and so this total amount would be the recreational catch. So more fish are released than what's being kept. Last year, anglers released around four times as many fish as they kept, and since 2013, the number of released fish compared to harvest has been increasing. In 2018, anglers released more than 62 million fish. So this is the recreational harvest in number, broken down by mode. Trying to do this similar to what I did for the commercial fishery by gear. So based on numbers of fish, the majority of recreational harvest is coming from man-made structures. That is the lightish blue area up here, followed by private boats, which is your dark blue area in the middle, and then beach fishing, which is this green down on the bottom. Recreational harvest from the charter fishery is fairly low compared to other modes when you're looking at the landings by numbers. Yes.
Cameron. Can you go back a slide? Do we have the correlating numbers for, I mean, obviously if we put that chart together, but like could you get me what the chart, what the charter number is for 2017?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, today would be awesome.
The four higher number.
Yeah, the four higher number. I'd be curious what their harvest was in that. That'd be great.
Thank you. So this is the recreational harvest by weight. And so you can see that that pattern changes a lot when you're looking at the data by weight compared to numbers. So based on harvest and pounds, the private boat mode now makes up the majority of the harvest per year. And again, that's that dark blue area. And then depending on the year, is followed by the charter fishery, which is in this light blue, and then man-made structures such as piers and up in the medium blue at the top. So this suggests that private and charter modes are typically catching heavier fish, such as the pelagics and other blue water fish, you know, HMS species, tuna, snapper grouper, dolphin, than those that are fishing off of beaches and man-made structures. Yep, Cameron?
And does that include, that's not just our inshore, I mean, that's everything. That's our, like you said, HMS, that includes dolphin, tuna.
Yes, this is all species. Number.
Do we break it out by species within that right there?
Not in this graph.
But do we have that? Like, do we know what the charter numbers are for flounder?
Yes, and I'm not going to be showing it broken out by fishery as I go on, but we can get those numbers to
you. Oh, that'd
be
awesome. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if those will be today. I do have a spreadsheet somewhere. Which we
that'd be great.
Yeah. Thanks.
I got a quick question, too. Dealing with the charter numbers to offshore, do you also count what's caught beyond 3 miles or just in 3 miles altogether?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So this is the top five recreational species. This slide is set up in the same way as the commercial ones, showing the 2018 recreational harvest. This is in pounds, and this would be the land harvest in pounds for each species in 2018. That's the number right below the species name compared to the five-year average from 2013 through 17, and then showing the percent either increase or decrease from that five-year average. The top five recreational species by weight in 2018 were dolphin, bluefish, spot, yellowfin tuna, and red drum. And then all had harvest in 2018 that was lower than the previous five-year average, except for red drum, which was higher by 11%. Robert?
Yeah, do we have data on wahoo or and other billfish?
Yes, we do.
Is that included in any of those figures or...?
Wahoo was not in the top five, either by number or pounds, but we can get that data for you.
Thank you.
Sorry? Oh, yeah. So we have an annual report that we do from our section every year. We call it the Big Book. It'll be coming out in November, which will have landings on all of our important species. You can get it on our website right now, and it's got data through 2017 by species, and Wahoo is included in that. But we can get the 18 data for you as well.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Let me get my task list down before I start forgetting. It is. So, okay. The top five recreational species based on numbers of fish were bluefish, spot, kingfishes, Spanish mackerel, and pinfish. The 2018 harvest and numbers, again, is shown under the species name. There you go. I was like, why does that say pounds? Spanish mackerel numbers in 2018 were higher than the five-year average, while all other species that harvested that were in the top five were less in 2018 than compared to the five-year average. So this is the top five recreational species released in numbers of fish, and that was spotted sea trout, pinfish, bluefish, Atlantic croaker, and then sea basses. Again, the number of released fish in 2018 is underneath the species name, and I meant to put some notes in here about this. So the biggest is spotted sea trout, which was up by 209%, and the majority of this was in the fall out in Dare County. If you want to know more about that, I will let Chris talk to you now or after the presentation.
I want to hear it now.
This is an aberrant type number for spotted sea trout, and what happened is kind of like a perfect storm of events occurred to create this estimate. It does have pretty large variability around this estimate, so it's. What happened was the storm, hurricane. So these are coming at, you know, after the hurricane, and the amount of water that we had flushed a lot of trout to the coast. Wilmington, we've got staff distributed in Wilmington, the Moorhead area, and in Dare County. Our Wilmington staff was pretty wiped out. I mean, we had folks that couldn't get back home. We had folks that couldn't leave home. And so what happened was the bulk of our sampling during the period that we're catching these trout was coming from Dare County. And in shore mode of Dare County, we saw lots of people with 80, 90, 100, 150 released fish on every trip that they went. And it was just abnormally large amount of releases. And so with that going on in Dare County, the southern part getting impacted more with the hurricane, all the effort that was generated got tied to those catch rates that were basically coming from Dare County. And I called NOAA trying to figure out, it's like, this is really, really odd. And they just kind of assured me, said, well, the variability is huge around that estimate. So you had to take it with a lot of consideration. But it is what it is, because the data, there was nothing wrong in the data that generated it. It was just a very odd set of circumstances that allowed it to happen.
Yeah. Well, what percentage do you think was skewed? I understand what you're saying and the combination of factors, but I mean, what percentage would you guess was skewed? 100%? I mean, because that's still a big number, regardless.
Yeah,
I'm just
I don't know. And so the 60%. It was a PSE of about 60%, and then normally PSEs for spotted sea trout that we get are very, very low PSCs. They're very precise estimates, and this was just blown way out of the bounds that we normally see it.
But even extrapolated out, we had, they still caught a lot of, I mean, we normally it would still have been a lot of fish.
Yeah, it was a lot of fish, and it just so happened that the samples that we got were abnormally large.
I understand. Yeah. Okay.
Martin?
For the percentages, you mentioned that some of the areas you really couldn't catch the data. When you looked at percentage change, did you just use the data from those sites where they could sample compared to the previous data from just those sites? Or did you use the data from the sites that we sampled compared to all sites in previous years?
For this calculation, I just used the statewide. But
right, and okay. So after the hurricane, there was about a month period where we were having issues with it. And it's, so far, you know, it's like as we work through data for different requests, and that's the only really weird number that we saw.
Yeah, but for this calculation, I didn't look at anything by area. It was just a statewide comparison. All right, so just like we did with the commercial, we'll look at the 10-year harvest history for the top five species. First of those is dolphin, which has very similar trends in harvest and effort. So the harvest is the green solid line, and on the left axis, and the effort and number of trips is on the right axis and is the blue dashed line. And then again, this color and axis orientation will stay the same as we go through the slides. For these graphs, the number of trips is calculated by using the trips that reported either targeting or harvesting at least one dolphin. So even though recreational dolphin harvest is lower than the five-year average, harvest in 2018 increased by 49% compared to 2017, and the number of trips increased by 24% from the previous year. Bluefish recreational harvest and effort have been varying trends over time, but the last 2 years have been very similar. Both harvest and effort dropped in 2018, harvest by almost 28%, and number of trips dropped 11% from 2017. Recreational harvest of spot follows closely with effort, and both saw a decline in 2018 after a small increase in 2017. Harvest in 18 decreased by 34%, while number of trips targeting and harvesting spot declined 29% from the previous year. So similar to dolphin, recreational harvest and effort of yellowfin tuna follow very similar trends. However, the peak in harvest in 2017 actually occurred in the year after the peak in trips. In 2018, both harvest and effort declined. Harvest was down 51%, and trips were down 39% from 2017. So this is red drum. So even though the number of trips harvesting red drum dropped by 5% in 2018, you know, the 2018 harvest only decreased by 2% from 2017, and landings are typically dependent on recruitment into the fishery. Over time, effort on this fishery has been increasing regardless of the harvest, and it's a popular fish targeted by recreational fishermen. This trend in effort is also seen in speckled trout, but that was not in our top five species list, so I don't have a slide today showing you their 10-year harvest history. Red drum is also a popular catch and release fish, so it's not surprising that the harvest is much lower than the effort. Recreational kingfish harvest and effort have been declining for the past several years. 2018 harvest was around 479,000 pounds, which was the lowest it's been since 1989, and decreased from 2017 by 48%, while the number of trips declined by 30%. Spanish mackerel harvest by commercial fishermen showed a small increase in 2018, which was 6% higher than the harvest in 2017. Effort in this fishery in 2018 was almost the same as well as the previous year. Over the past several years, a lot of Spanish mackerel are being caught around the inlets and close to shore. This proximity to shore has made it easier for recreational fishermen to target and catch this species. And lastly, recreational harvest of pinfish has been steadily increasing before it dropped sharply in 2016. Landings were starting to rebound, but were likely affected by Hurricane Florence, like everything else, causing 2018 harvest to be 34% lower than the previous year. The number of trips that reported catching pinfish has also been increasing over time before the sharp drop in number of trips in 2018. Which was a decrease of 27% from 2017. Again, these are trips that included both targets and harvest of species. So showing those two makes it kind of hard to decipher the trends. You know, this I don't want it to be misleading that people are out there increasing to target pinfish. This is just increasingly harvesting pinfish. So, you know, making that direct comparison can sometimes be difficult. The landings and harvest that we've shown you today is only one piece of the bigger picture that determines the status of these stocks. For biological or management-related questions about the species presented or questions about stock overview, you can contact the lead biologist for the species you're interested in. Notice that Kathy Rawls will be our new pinfish biologist when that species starts making a comeback. and if you're interested in seeing other species, whether it's commercial or recreational, or a different breakdown of trips, we can run that for you. So Amanda Tong and Alan Bianchi would be your contacts for the commercial data. Andrew Cathy and Chris Wilson would be your contacts for recreational data. And then David, you met yesterday, for anything that you need for socioeconomics. And I will take any other questions if you have them.
Other questions? Cameron.
Mine's just super quick clarification. So when we do trips like that, when we talk about trips, they can overlap, right? Like a flounder trip and a red drum trip overlap. And we would count those as two unique trips within that species, but overall it was just one trip.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I assume the pinfish are primarily being harvested for bait. Is that what
I
y'all
think they're
seeing?
Just, I don't know.
I would assume so.
Oh, yeah.
I like to harvest them for fish because I really don't fish well. So I'm happy when
release,
anything is
please,
on that hook.
Please tell me you're catch and release.
Yes. That's right.
Okay, anybody else with anything? All right. Thank y'all very much for
you
your presentation. It's very informative.